Moncrief on News Talk.
Now, the Tokyo Olympics, which were due to take place last year, are scheduled to kick off on July 23rd. However, with the third wave of COVID raging across the planet, uncertainty now lingers over whether the Games will get off the ground at all. But how is that affecting the Irish team? To discuss this further, Peter Sherrard, the CEO of the Olympic Federation of Ireland, joins us now on News Talk. Peter, how are you today?
Very good, Tom. How are you?
Very good. So what's the state of play at the moment? Because I get the impression numbers are as bad in Japan as they are here.
No, they're not quite as bad, but they have had a spike in recent months, having contained the virus very successfully for a while in common with a lot of other Asian countries. So it is becoming an increasing challenge for them to manage locally. But compared to our numbers, no, they would be significantly lower. But that doesn't mean that it's not something from a preparation of the Olympic team that we haven't had to address. It is certainly very much top of our minds, and very much top of our minds in terms of helping the athletes to get through that process. I suppose generally we would definitely be of the view that the Games will be going ahead, but it's going to be a very, very different type of Games experience for the athletes, and one that will present quite a number of challenges. First of all, you know, you'd be making sure that the athletes are staying within what will effectively be a bubble. There would be strict testing protocols that will be in place that obviously wouldn't have ordinarily have been the case in previous Games environments. They'll have to come in to the Olympic Village, that bubble, no earlier than 5 days before competition. Ordinarily, they would like to have been there maybe 10 to 12 days before. And they would be departing the Olympic Village within 48 hours of competing. And normally, at a normal Games, a lot of athletes would like to stay on to enjoy the experience post-competition. So it is a change, but it's one that I think the athletes in recent months have had to deal with anyway in terms of competitions that they've been taking part in across Europe and elsewhere within the world. But it's preparing for that and putting in place the protocols and making some difficult decisions to try to make it happen. But I think ultimately, from our point of view and from the athletes' point of view, which is the most important, is, you know, they would prefer that we do everything possible to make the Games happen, and they're prepared to accept, obviously, that it will be quite different in terms of the experience as a result.
Okay. Something like 52 Irish athletes have already qualified, still more to qualify in the coming weeks. Are we at the crux for that at the moment, for the actual qualification stage?
Yeah, Olympic qualification is a funny one because there's 33 different sports that be involved, but we would probably have about 14 to 15 sports that could realistically expect to qualify. Like 52 spots have already qualified, but you'd expect that team size to go up to somewhere in the region of 70 to 100. It's quite difficult to call with any great levels of precision, probably around 80 being realistic about it. But that does mean that there's approximately 30 athletes who still would aspire to qualify, are capable of qualifying, but are waiting on competition opportunities to do so. And that, for them, is quite a challenge in terms of just managing themselves during this period, because there is uncertainty around some of the qualification events and competitions as a result of COVID. A lot of those are due to take place in April and May of this year. And it's a time when they're having really to rely on their own inner resilience to keep a focus on their own training regimes, prepare for those to come, and hopefully they do come. In the event that they weren't to take place, you know, a lot of international sports federations are looking at alternative ways of gauging whether an athlete is ready to compete at the Olympics, be it through international rankings or other means. But those are far from perfect, and we would much prefer to see a normal competitive environment prevail.
Right. And as this goes on, is there a cutoff date at which a decision has to be made about whether it's going to go ahead at all?
Yeah, the IOC, the International Olympic Committee, have been, you know, holding back and giving exact dates and when it would have to go ahead. But, you know, clearly there are some big decisions that have to be made. One of those in particular would be whether international supporters would be able to travel. And they've indicated already that, you know, in March they would expect to have to make a decision on that. So potentially that means that it could end up being a Games where it's only local Japanese people in the stadiums. They already have done quite a number of test events in Japan where they've operating their stadiums to 50% capacity because they were at a better stage in terms of handling the virus than ourselves and other European countries. And in terms of the overall games, you would expect that, you know, it can't go much beyond April into early part of May before they have to make a final decision. But those are things that will depend on the Tokyo local organizing committee and the IOC. But having said that, I think we've seen a lot of international competitions go ahead in this bubble operation, not without its challenges. It does mean that the athletes have to be subjected to extremely rigorous and very, very regular testing, but it is possible. And I think that's a light at the end of the tunnel for everyone. On top of that, the biggest thing and the biggest change really is the vaccination program. And we know that, you know, vaccines are available, which will have a big impact in terms of the ability to run the games, albeit behind the bubble. And, you know, we've surveyed our athletes to get, and the support staff and coaches to get their attitudes to vaccination. And we're actually very pleased to 96% were in favour of vaccination, which will make our job a lot easier in terms of preparing the team for the games in at the end of July.
Right. It would mean an enormous amount. Now, obviously, the athletes, it's something their lives have been leading up to. But from our point of view, as simply fans, it's an enormous morale lift, isn't it? I mean, even sports at the moment, football at the moment, it's one of the few things there is. So if this was to go ahead and we could tune in and watch Irish athletes, it would be a great lift during the summer, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I totally agree, Tom, fundamentally. But I'm just slightly cautious in getting too far ahead of myself, because there's still quite a lot of challenges for us to meet, and getting athletes' heads into a different space to be able to adjust and be resilient for a new reality of competing with COVID around them. But having said that, you know, if you think about it, it could be a tremendous celebration of beginning to see the light at the end of the tunnel. It's a worldwide event. It involves people, countries from all over the world, and it's a great celebration of something very pure in sport, which is just aspiring to be the best in the world in any given sport. And that's a celebration for humanity in some ways. So I think it is something certainly to look forward to. And getting behind Team Ireland and the boys and girls in green who will be representing us in a range of different sports, and we have a lot of exciting prospects, is definitely something to look forward to. But quite a lot of work to do between here and the end of July, something we're ready and aware of and ready to meet head on. But definitely an exciting prospect that keeps us all motivated and keeps the athletes motivated first and foremost.
Right. I don't want to get too ahead of ourselves or too excited, but should it go ahead, what do we have to look forward to from the Irish point of view? Where would you be optimistic?
Yeah, I think the big thing that's changed is, you know, the Sport Ireland, the government, the institute, who we're working very closely in partnership with, the system has been very much aligned in terms of investing in high-performance sport and allowing our athletes really to achieve their full potential. There's still a bit of work to be done in that area, and everybody's aware of it, but there's been big progress, and I think that needs to be recognised. And, you know, it means that where in previous Olympic Games, you know, you might have had expectations that, you know, boxing would bring home a medal or two or three, even as the case has been. There's a wider range of sports that we can realistically be aspiring to be, you know, top three in the world, which is still a hell of an achievement in any sport. But, you know, so besides boxing and the athletics, you have sports like rowing, which is a really extraordinarily strong program at the moment, and at the World Championships in Linz in 2019, a lot of gold medal showings, which would promise very well for the Olympics. But it's, you know, they're preparing very diligently, but it is tough for them at the moment. But they, you know, you'd have reason to believe that there's good possibilities there. Our equestrian teams, we've qualified all three equestrian teams in eventing, dressage, and jumping, and having more teams involved in that space means there's more potential that things can go right in the day. And unfortunately, that won't always be the case for everyone, but the more teams you have in those kind of positions where they can realistically hope for medals, the better. Our women's hockey team, we all saw how well they did in the World Championships. Wouldn't it be fantastic if they could replicate that again at the Olympics? They're down in Spain at the moment preparing for returning to competition and getting used to playing matches again with opposing teams. Our golfers, you know, we've Shane Lowry, Rory McIlroy, Leona Maguire, on the women's side. Like there's a whole host of athletes who could potentially do it for us. And there's taekwondo, judo, the list goes on. But it's great to have that range and that scope. And I think it's a big ask to come in the top three positions in the world in any sport. But I think we do have some athletes who are capable of it. In gymnastics, for example, we've Reese McLenaghan, who's come through, and he's just an exceptional talent. So we have talent, and it's a question of harnessing that and developing it and really helping the athletes to perform to the best of their abilities.
Well, fingers crossed that gets to go ahead, and it'd be such a lift for literally the entire world should it do so. Peter, thanks very much for joining us today. It's been an absolute pleasure talking to you. That's Peter Sherrod there.
Thanks, Tom.
CEO
likewise.
Of the Olympic Federation. Thank you very much, Olympic Federation of Ireland.
Moncrief on News Talk.